So once again, I want to say good morning. Welcome to New City Church. Again, I am standing up because I realize that I am a preacher who needs to stand up. And welcome once again to New City Zoom online worship service. My name is Kevin Ha. I'm the lead pastor at New City Church. We're continuing our series, In Fragile Times. And today the sermon is entitled Suffering in Fragile Times. And we're going to be talking about the topic of how we approach suffering. You know, a lot of us are suffering from COVID-19 right now. Myra Rios, our San Fernando Valley worship leader, is hospitalized. And she also has a chronic condition, lupus. So it's been even more difficult. Her dad is also in ICU at the hospital. So we need to be praying for them. Eric Hernandez, who's part of my check-in group, his mom is in ICU as well. And it's, this condition is pretty serious and we need to pray for her. Eric is showing symptoms, but he hasn't been tested yet. The good news is that Vanessa Padilla's uncle is off ventilator and he's breathing better. Praise God for that. And James Hahn, who was quarantined and tested positive, feels much better right now. Praise God for that. There are more people who's been tested positive at Union Rescue Mission, even on the shelter floor. I hear that tomorrow, everyone in the mission will get tested. So we'll see how that goes, but it's a very important situation. It's an important time at Union Rescue Mission. We need to pray that the virus does not spread. It needs to be a place where homeless people can go, but if the virus is preventing people from going into the mission, it's going to be an issue. So we need to keep them in our prayers as well. And I know several of us have family members, parents, elderly members of our family who are sick, and we need to keep them in our prayers as well. And I know that there are some of us who have lost our jobs or have been reduced in our hours and are wondering about rent and food. As we said, we have a hardship fund to help you with the food. So please let us know, help@newcitychurchla.com. It was amazing to also see people donating into the hardship fund. And I think that's how community is supposed to work. And I was just so moved by how so many of you responded to give. And and those people who are in need, please don't hesitate. Please let us know what your needs are. There's still a lot of people living on the streets and we need to pray for them. Right now, there are 2.4 million people who's confirmed tested positive and about 160,000 deaths. In the United States, there are about 735 confirmed cases and about 40,000 deaths. The economic damage is also very, very real. Over 22 million people filed unemployment claims in the last 4 weeks. Some of us, as we go through this, safer at home orders, obeying the safer at home orders and relaxing at home. Some of us, it's been not too bad. But I heard that even introverts are getting cabin fever and getting tired of the isolation. And I can see some of you, when I look down, I'm actually looking at you on the screen. Some of you are just smiling, going, yeah, I'm kind of getting tired of the isolation. But there are others who are suffering from the virus. And if not the virus, there's a sense of anxiety, depression, and loneliness, and worries about how they're gonna make their ends meet, or how what's gonna happen in the future, or whether they're gonna get the virus. There's a lot of stress and anxiety going on, and I also know that there are some of you who have kids home. 24/7 and you're completely being overwhelmed by the kids. It's not easy to homeschool kids. I think that's why we have public education. It's not easy, especially young kids. Grace and I, we have teenagers, so it's not as intense in terms of my role, but we have our own issues. It's true that some of us are not suffering that much, but some of us are suffering greatly. And that's sort of the reality of life, right? Some suffer a lot and others suffer little. I think it often depends on socioeconomic positioning and privilege, but sometimes it's just random, like what's going on right now. This virus is pretty random. But whether we are privileged or not, we go through a time of suffering sometime in our lives. Today, I want us to consider how we approach suffering. This is not a sermon on why we suffer. I plan to talk about that 2 weeks from now. Then next week, Cindy's going to share, and week after that, I'm going to share about why we suffer. Today, we're going to talk about how we approach suffering. So let's go to today's passage. It's Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I want to focus on how Jesus responded to the question. John, James, those are the two Zebedees, John and James, and their mother asked of him. Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" So we're going to talk about what is the cup and how we drink it. We're really just going to focus on this sentence first. So what is the cup? So here's the context. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, on their way to the cross. And right before this passage, Jesus told them that when they get to Jerusalem, he will be condemned to death, mocked, flogged, crucified, but on the third day, rise again. And, you know, right after he said that, and I think this shows the posture of James, John, and their mother, just right after he told them that he's going to be crucified, their concern about jockeying for position and power in the new administration of Jesus Christ. You know, James and John, they're superheroes in the Bible. They're amazing people. But their hearts were not always right. And it's good to see that they were imperfect people that developed. And so it gives me hope. I think it should give all of us hope about where we are. You see, because it's not just them who are self-absorbed It's us as well. We're often so focused on our own success and making it to the top that we don't see the reality of what's going on around us. We don't see the reality of the suffering around us. We don't even hear what Jesus is saying to us because we don't even have time to listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Everything is filtered through the lens of, is it going to help me? Is it going to help me succeed? Is it going to help me get to the top? Then Jesus said to them, "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" And they answered yes, but they had no idea what he was talking about. You know, Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite authors, wrote a book called Can You Drink the Cup? And some of the ideas that I'm going to share today comes from that book. It was his last book before he died. In the book, he said, Jesus's cup is the cup of sorrow, not just his own sorrow, but the sorrow of the whole human race. It is a cup full of physical, mental, and spiritual anguish. It is the cup of starvation, torture, loneliness, rejection, abandonment, and immense anguish. It is a cup full of bitterness. You know, this cup is a cup of suffering of the entire human race. It is the suffering of all the plagues, of all the coronaviruses. It is the suffering caused by all the sins of the world. It is the suffering caused by all the evils of the world. It is the suffering caused by human race's rejection of God from our hearts. Later in Jerusalem, the night that Jesus was arrested, after they had the Last Supper, they went to pray at Mount Gethsemane. And there Jesus prayed, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." His agony was so intense that the scripture tells us that his sweats fell to the ground like drops of blood. You know, James and John, who were so sure that they could drink the cup, couldn't stay awake to pray with him during that time. Jesus longed for companionship during his time of sorrow. Yet he was all alone. At that time, he fell again and prayed to God, "My Father, if possible, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." Jesus's prayer was utterly honest. I just love the way he prays. He's saying, "Lord," he's saying, "Father, I don't want to drink the cup. There's just so much pain, so much suffering, so much agony ahead of him." He didn't feel like he could drink the cup. But he did. Why did he drink the cup? He lived in intimacy with his Father. They were one for all eternity. And I know that oneness actually causes a greater amount of pain to be separated, to be rejected, to be cast aside because our sins were upon him. Yet he knew the love of the Father. He lived as one who is loved by the Father. He trusted his Abba. Abba is this familial word for father, just intimate word for a father. He trusted his Abba's will, and he decided to surrender to his Abba's will. And he prayed, not as I will, but as you will. May your will be done. Jesus didn't throw away the cup in despair. No, he kept it in his hand. He struggled with it This wasn't easy for him. It's not just the physical pain, it's the pain of separation from the God, from his father. He didn't want to do it, but yet he yielded to the will of his Abba. Considering, well, let's consider all the sorrows and pain of coronavirus right now. Consider all the suffering that Myra is going through in the hospital, considering suffering of all the people in ICU on a ventilator, consider the suffering of the healthcare workers right now who are treating people, but they're so endangering themselves to the virus. Consider the sufferings of those who've lost their jobs and worried about rent and food. And this is just, these are just the sufferings related to the coronavirus. It's not like all the other suffering in the world have stopped. There's still violence, racism, injustice, economic equality, sexism, abuse, homophobia, classism, addiction, hate, bullying, broken relationships, adultery, and the list goes on and on. And that's just the mess that we create. There are people who are suffering from all kinds of other diseases and natural disasters and of course, death. I think we are all lamenting that same prayer of Jesus when we are faced with suffering. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Lord, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through this. Would you take this away from me? It is too heavy. Lord, this is too hard. Would you take this away from me? I know we do not have the ability to take upon ourselves the pain, the sins, and the burdens of the world like Jesus did. But the question remains, can you drink the cup I am going to drink? Can we stop running away from our pain? Can we hold the cup and acknowledge the pain? Can we cry out to God and lament as Jesus says? It's so important for us to practice lament, honesty, emotional honesty to God. Can we get honest about our pain and suffering? You don't have to repress it. Jesus didn't repress it. Let's be raw and honest about our pain. So the cup is the cup of sorrow and pain. But you know what? It's not just the cup of suffering. It is also a cup of joy. And that's the beautiful thing about this. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, in the NIV, it says this, "For the joy set before him, meaning Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I find this fascinating. Jesus was looking at the cup of sorrow, but he also saw joy. He also saw joy. He saw you and me back home together with the Father. He saw the joy hidden in sorrow. He saw the kingdom of God defeat the kingdom of Satan, who messed up the world. He saw the world that is going to come, the beauty, the reconciled, restored world. He saw the resurrection to come, not only of himself, but the resurrection of all of us as we are restored. Sorrow and joy are both within the cup. Henry Nouwen in his book says this. He says, "Joys are hidden in sorrows. I know this from my own times of depression. I know it from living with people with mental handicaps." He he worked and lived in a place called Day Springs, which is a facility for people with mental handicaps and other handicaps. I know it from looking into the eyes of patients and from being with the poorest of the poor. We keep forgetting this truth and become overwhelmed by our own darkness. We easily lose sight of our joys and speak of our sorrows as the only reality there is. I know it's easy to see suffering and sorrow and be overwhelmed by it. I see the poorest among us, and I see how they see joy even in the midst of their suffering. You know, when I walk by folks in Skid Row and people who are homeless and ask them how they're doing, do you know what the most common answer is? Do you know what the most common answer is? It's this. They say, blessed. Blessed to be alive. That's the most common answer that I get from them. I think they're seeing that there is joy. They're finding joy even in midst of their suffering. We often forget that. Jesus didn't forget that. He saw the cup of sorrow. He held it. But he also saw the joy. So, second question is this: how do we drink the cup? You know, Jesus drank the cup by himself. He drank the cup of sorrow and joy to redeem us from darkness and take us to the light. He took all of our sin, our mess, all the things, all of our brokenness, all the viruses, all the illnesses, all the sicknesses, all the bitterness, all the hatreds of the world. He took it all upon himself. Took it all upon himself. And died for us and gave us his righteousness, his newness, his kingdom, his position as a child of God. And the ultimate reality of the kingdom of God. He drank the cup of sorrow and joy by himself. Yet, you know what's interesting is that he taught us to drink the cup together in community. The night he was arrested, he taught the disciples to remember what he has done by breaking the bread and drinking the cup together. This is why we have communion, because Jesus instituted it. What does it mean to drink the cup of sorrow and joy together? I think it means to be in community, to share in community, be vulnerable to one another in community, share in the sorrow and joy in the community. It is a call to a collective sorrow and collective joy. Ever since Cindy Lee wrote a blog on collective suffering to kick off the Lenten season, I've been thinking more and more about what it means to suffer together. It's so easy, you know, at least for me, to just focus on my suffering and pain. And if I'm okay, I'm happy. And that's a common posture. But in Christ, in the body of Christ, we are called to collective suffering. If one part of the body hurts, the entire body hurts, the scripture tells us. We are called to define suffering in community. If you hurt, I hurt. My pain is not just my pain, but it's also your pain. And your pain and suffering is not just your pain and suffering, but also my pain and suffering. This is what it means to be in community. This is what it means to love one another. You know, I sense that these times of coronavirus is teaching us to suffer together. In our grown serve group, we usually end by asking everyone to share their prayer request, and we pray for one another. And I think it was about a month ago, it was just as we were going into the online mode, and that night, everyone's prayer request was about somebody else and not about themselves. All of us were concerned about other people more than ourselves. I'm not saying that it's bad to pray about yourself. Of course, God calls us to pray what is in our hearts. No, but we often just focus on our own well-being, our happiness, our health, our job, our reputation, our family, or whatever, just our stuff. Maybe God is calling us to be a real community together. Mourn with those who are mourning and suffer with those who are suffering. In order to do this, we have to be willing to drink the cup of sorrow and joy. Do you see both? Do you see both? Yes, suffering together takes us away from our, happy place, because we are thrusted into the pain and suffering of our brothers and sisters. Yes, it means that we might have to sacrifice something, sacrifice our time, sacrifice our resources to help our brother buy some food. Yes, it might be that we have to make a telephone call and encourage that brother and sister who always seems to mess things up, maybe you think. Maybe it might mean that you have to leave what you do and follow the call to refocus your life on sharing the suffering and the pain of others. I don't know what it is in your life. But you know, it's not just about giving. It's also about receiving. It means that you have to allow other people in your life into your suffering and pain. I know that's hard to do sometimes. So many of us are so private about our weaknesses and our hurts and pain that we don't let anyone in. Our hearts are closed. It's time to be open. It's time to be vulnerable to one another. It's okay to say that you are in need, emotional need. Maybe it's okay to say you're lonely. It's okay to say, I need some money for groceries. It's okay to say, I need help to one another. It's okay to say that you are hurting. It's okay to say that you are angry about things. You know why? Because that's what it means to enter into one another's sorrow and share that sorrow with one another. And you know what? There is joy hidden in the sorrow. When you serve your brothers and sisters, there is just this inexplicable joy. I got an email from a brother who delivered groceries yesterday to an elderly person in our church. And afterward, he was just beaming with joy. I can see it from his email. And as we do community with the willingness to enter into suffering with one another, there is the blessings of joy that percolates in our hearts. Many of you decided to give to our church's hardship fund so that we can help one another. Thank you for that. It hurts a little when we give, but there is joy that comes afterwards after we give. And when you open yourself up and share your pain, there is joy of leaving superficial relationship behind you and embracing a true and authentic relationship. There is joy of leaning on your brother or sister and finding rest. You know, that's finding rest through the body of Christ. Finding rest through our community is finding rest in the body of Christ, finding rest in God. God uses our community to give rest to one another. Amen. The world has become, in so many ways, so individualistic regarding happiness and sorrow. We only care about our own happiness. You know, even in Christendom, you know, some have changed Christianity into a tool for our own private and individual happiness. We made God into our personal happiness machine. Well, he did say he wanted to give us abundant life. But remember that abundant life is not a life of avoiding suffering. It is drinking the cup of suffering and joy. It is in the communal suffering that we find joy, true joy. My sermon is at an intense moment, but according to my notes, we're going to have a quick breakout time before I close us up about this, okay? So here's what I want you to do in your breakout time. Share about a time when you experienced joy through sharing your suffering or by helping to carry someone else's suffering. I want to just give you time to mull on that a little bit. Can we put that question up? Do I have that question up? Oh, maybe I forgot to put this question. I think I do have it. Share about a time when you experienced joy through sharing your suffering or by helping to carry someone else's suffering. Do you guys understand the question? So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes in your breakout groups. Break up into groups of about 5 people each. That would be good. And I'll see you in 5 minutes, and I'll go to my conclusion. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. People are coming back. So there are stories and there are times when we experience joy through just participating in another's suffering. And some of the stories are about even through our own suffering. God gives us joy even in midst of our own suffering. Now, I want to end by asking how we live like this. What spiritual rhythms help us to drink the cup that Jesus drank? I'm just going to give you a few suggestions. Number one, spend time centering your life on God's unconditional love and joy for you. Let this be a regular practice. You know, I love our centering prayer time at Tuesday because it's just a time of silence, centering on the most important thing in our lives. What is it that we need to center on? Center on God's love, God's joy for you, and how he came to serve you and give his life as a ransom to redeem you from the pit of slavery that you were in. This is, I think, in a way, just remembering that he has drunk the cup of sorrow and joy for you, the ultimate cup for you. I think that's why communion is such an important spiritual practice, that we constantly remember what he has done for us, that he has drunk this cup for us. So spending your time on God's love and what he has done for you, and just, I think, is critical to actually be able to drink the cup ourselves to help others. Secondly, do regular self-examination. What areas of your life have you become completely self-focused and individualistic in your definition of happiness? And in what areas of your life have you become just, are you seeing self-indulgence building up? Well, what is the temperature of your heart regarding your, regarding the pain and suffering of people around you? Do you feel hard? Do you feel callous? So constantly self-examine, allow yourself to be hurt by the things that hurt the heart of God. And that's the self-examination that we need to regularly do. And number three, always live in a rhythm of rest. Remember, you can't do any of these things without a rhythm of resting. We're all going to get burned out if we try to do that. You are not the Messiah. You cannot die for everyone. You cannot carry the burden of everyone that you see on your shoulders. I think as followers of Jesus, some of us end up with compassion fatigue, and if we don't serve everyone that we see, we have this guilt fatigue going on. But you need to remember, it's Jesus who died for us. You're not called to die for everyone. But this is not to say that Jesus is not calling you to drink the cup. He's asking you to follow him, take up the cross and follow him. But understand that he has taken up the ultimate cross, and you can only do what you can do. So that's why it's so important to rest and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, rejuvenate you, and guide you. Fourthly, engage in community with people who lament and share your pain and hurt. So engage in a community where you can be authentic and honest, where you can share, where you can receive. I think that's so important. That's who we're trying to be. But I think that's an important important place for all of us to be. And lastly, seek to be part of a diverse community. I think that's important. To me, that's so important, because without the diversity, especially socioeconomic diversity of our community, we can end up in a sort of a way of thinking that everybody's okay and people are suffering, it's their own fault, and they're just way out there, and I don't really care about them. It's so easy to get into that mode of thinking. But when you do community together, it's a whole different story. You begin to hear their backstories. You begin to love them. And so that's what I encourage you to do. Live, be a part of a diverse community. So spending time centering yourself in God's love, doing regular self-examination, living in a rhythm of rest, engage in community with people who lament and people who can share. And number five, be a part of a diverse community. These are my suggestions for you in how to live a life where we're able to drink the cup of joy and suffering together in community. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for drinking the cup that we could never drink. Drinking the cup that saved us. Drinking the cup that defeated evil. Drinking the cup that enabled us to enter into the kingdom of God and be restored and follow your footsteps, not only into the suffering, but also the joy. Not only joy now, but also the joy of the resurrection to come and joy of the kingdom of God to come. So we thank you, O Lord, for your grace upon us, O Lord. Lord, when we look at our lives, we're so self-focused about how we think about even our level of happiness, and we ignore others. We're deaf to the suffering of others. So many of us are like that. Lord, would you make our hearts tender? Would you soften our hearts so that we would be pained by the things that pain you and hurt by the things that hurt you, oh Lord? Would you help us be willing to enter into suffering with our brothers and sisters to help reduce the load? And would you help us to be vulnerable enough to say, I need help. And to receive help. Lord, help us to do so with wisdom. Help us to know how to do this in a rhythm of rest, O Lord. Help us to not have this kind of a messianic complex about ourselves. It is you. We are not you, but you call us to follow you. Lord, help us to live in a healthy tension depending on where we are in our maturity, O Lord. For some of us, Lord, you call us to sacrifice greatly. But others, you just take us, you call us to just take that first step. So wherever we are, help us, O Lord. Help us to engage in community. Help us to be honest. Help us to lament of our sorrow. Share with people around us, O Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.